Terrorist attacks against Syria are intensifying. Has Kofi Annan's peace initiative already failed? A speedboat supplied by Turkey attack a Syrian border region. Many are asking, have some forces already embarked on foreign military intervention? I'm Huma Lezgi and this is News Analysis.
Explosions have rocked the city of Idlib in northwestern Syria, causing deaths and injuries. Syrian media blamed terrorists for the blasts that targeted security services buildings. Injuries were also reported in the capital, Damascus, where armed groups attacked a police patrol and the central bank building. Workers at the central bank staged a rally in support of President Bashar al-Assad's government. Syria has been gripped by a year-long deadly unrest, which the government blames on foreign-backed armed gangs. Many have been killed in terrorist attacks in which Damascus says al-Qaeda is involved. State newspapers say the methods and choices of targets in terrorist attacks across the country bear the hallmarks of al-Qaeda. They say al-Qaeda-led terrorism is being funded by some Arab countries and is supported by the U.S.
I mean, it's not just the Syrian government who has laid the blame for much of these attacks at al-Qaeda's door. Al-Qaeda themselves have claimed responsibility numerous times for the terrorist attacks that have taken place in...
The U.S., its Western and Arab allies, along with Turkey, have openly voiced political and financial support for the armed opposition groups operating in Syria, supplying them with weapons. On Saturday, several people were killed in a seaborne attack by armed groups on a military unit near the Syrian port city of Latakia. They used weapons and seaboats provided by a Turkish ship. The Syrian army is still engaged in fighting armed groups despite a ceasefire being closely monitored by UN observers. The ceasefire came into effect on April 12th as part of efforts to restore calm to Syria. But since then, attacks and bombings by armed groups have intensified, with the latest in Idlib and Damascus. This seems to be part of efforts to show that the ceasefire is shaky and will come to an end. Western countries and some Arab states have spoken of regime change in Syria as the only way to resolve the crisis. But their attempts were blocked with stances adopted by countries like Russia and China, who insist on a peaceful solution. They've repeatedly said the Syrian crisis must only be resolved by Syrians themselves, and all parties involved in the violence must cooperate to seize it. Russia also said it supports, quote, a decisive rebuff on terrorists operating in Syria and has urged all domestic and outside players to avoid supporting the Syrian terrorists.
Well, joining me now live from London is political analyst and filmmaker Mr. Sukant Chandan, and also with us via Skype from Belfast, author and Middle East affairs expert Mr. Saeb Shass. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us. My first question to our guest in London, Mr. Chandan. Attacks are intensifying. They're even becoming more sophisticated despite the announced ceasefire. Now, are these protesters who've taken up arms? Who are they?
These are people who are being emboldened and most likely trained and backed by the Western white power structure or imperialism, whatever you want to call it. The fact is that even though there's no open and direct Western military intervention in Syria, imperialism is at war with Syria because there's perhaps a misunderstanding of the nature of imperialism, including by the anti-war movement in England and other places in the West itself. The West, as an entity, it lives off a constant war against the people of the Global South, including the people of Syria, Palestine, Iran, etc., for over five centuries. So currently in Syria, there is a war. It's an economic war through sanctions. It's a cultural and media war. And in this regard, I'd like to congratulate the Iranian authorities for having arrested the Reuters bureau chief in Tehran for the lies that she was responsible for purporting, because these are not journalists, these are war propagandists.
Well, Mr. Chandan, I'd like to stop you there, if I may. In response to the question that was posed about the identity of these armed groups, you say these are people who have been emboldened, and you say they're being supported by foreign powers, although there is not directly still a foreign military intervention. Mr. Saeb Shass in Belfast, let's have your view on this. The media, meanwhile, it looks like, can no longer ignore all the photos now and footage of these armed men who are very clearly carrying heavy weapons and launching attacks. Now, would you agree that they are being supported by foreign powers and we should not call them the parts of the opposition or parts of the protesters who've taken up arms to try and topple the regime?
These guys, as my friend Tendon said, are truly supported by reactionary regime and Western imperialist countries to achieve the goal. They've been used before. We've seen in the scenario of Libya, they done that by trying to take over Benghazi and then split the country and spread from there. That's what they tried to do in Syria, and they failed. They tried to do that through Homs, to take Homs as the heart of the middle of Syria near the sea and split the country from there to small fighting zones and spread their gangs. And we know from the beginning, last year we discovered 600 from the TNC in Libya arrived through the Turkish border. And the Turkish military, the Libyan Tripoli chief of the TNC was in there, in the Turkish-Syrian border. And these guys trained by the CIA, by Western countries, supported astonishingly by the French and Qatar and Saudi Arabia. And they trying to achieve what we regime change. They come up, then they have to bring the country into stages by stage of chaos to create a sort of civil war. And this civil war would be targeted at ethnic groups to encourage them to immigrate. Like what happened with the Christians in Iraq, most of them left the country where they were attacked under the umbrella of the American protection. And the same thing happening in Syria. We know this in a city like Homs and Hama. Most of the Arab Christians in these cities were targeted. Their property be looted and taken by these terrorist gangs. And the now the West, they discovered Syria as a country, as a state, and as a people are intact. They cannot be defeated through these gangs. Now they want to try to move to another scenario, since the Syrian army, the security apparatus, all intact, there is a huge support for the Syrian government from its people, and the people are discovering and understanding the majority of them who is behind these and who is the state, and they wonder how you can support, as they want to call it, a revolution supported by imperialists, countries, by NATO, by reactionary forces in the Arab world like Qatar and Saudi Arabia, who are historically are part of the imperialist and the Zionist agenda.
Right.
So the people have become aware of what's going on. Now it's the move to create another scenario of trying to instigate a war to start from the Turkish side. So NATO can interfere, since Turkey is a member of NATO. And,
right. So what you're saying, Mr. Shass, is that you're saying that there is a scenario at work and it's being implemented now to instigate civil war in Syria to start a military intervention. Now, Mr. Chandon, one point that we're hearing constantly said by the United Nations right now that its observers are in Syria is from Mr. Ban Ki-moon himself and the United Nations for the Syrian government to stop fighting. And at the same time, the Syrian government is saying, when I'm being attacked by armed groups, what option do I have? I have to defend myself. So what can prevent this from escalating into civil war?
I'm not sure what can prevent it, but I think the Syrian state is absolutely right in trying to protect the security of its citizens. To be honest, what can stop this happening is the countries which are supporting Syria, which has enabled Syria to withstand and to kind of defy and reject an imperialist intervention, which is primarily Russia and China. And Russia and China need to basically go on the offensive, really, if they want to protect not only Syria, but other countries of the global south that are up for being targeted. In a time where William Hague, the British foreign minister, openly says that he is supporting the opposition by quote-unquote non-lethal means. I mean, what is non-lethal means? I mean, non-lethal means can help the lethal means. It can be radio communication equipment, etc. But frankly, I'm sure they're doing more than that, and that's only what he's admitting to. When Qatar is admitting to this, when Saudi Arabia is admitting to this, and we know other reactionary forces in the region are supporting the opposition, the Syrian government, and wider than that, the people of the Global South have an absolute right to defend themselves as much as possible. So really, Russia is the only safeguard to Syria and any other country of the Global South to be able to protect its independence, which is the most precious thing for any given country of the Global South.
Right. So the solution that Russia and China, you said they are pursuing, Mr. Saeb Shass, they've been pursuing the negotiated solution, they say, and that is also part of Kofi Annan's plan, but already the ceasefire hasn't worked. And a lot of people may be saying, considering the situation in Syria, negotiation is not even practical or possible. The opposition is divided. So basically, do you agree with this analysis that some are making, that maybe Syria needs a transitional government right now to enable that peace process to go forward, or that Assad's government should step down?
No, I don't agree with that. Since the government in Syria, it's a duty as a state to protect its own citizens from terrorist attacks. And we understand where these terrorist attacks are coming from. It's coming from an enemy supported by the imperialist and the Zionist and the reactionary regime who doesn't want to see stability in Syria. And the larger aim of this, the geopolitical game, is to target Iran, then China, then Russia. So it's part of the world domination game these days is happening. While the West suffering from huge economical crisis, they try to find areas which they can loot. They are targeting Iran and they're targeting Syria right now. And at the same time, they're doing that to surround China and Russia. So it's part of the domination, world domination strategy, which the imperialists have in their agenda, and part of the strengthening the hand of Israel and safeguarding the regimes which is their satellites and puppets like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the rest of them. So we understand where this is coming from. If they want to propose a temporary government or such a thing, it means the Syrian people accepting defeat and they're moving to the next stage, which is surrendering their country to the Zionists and the imperialists. This is not going to happen, since Syria is strong and Syria is capable of protecting its own borders. But the problem is in here is infiltrating the cities, because the Syria cannot put a soldier or a security guard or a policeman at every Syrian household there. That's what they are using, and the people are paying a heavy price. And we can see who is aiding, bidding and aiding that, like the Turkish, like even the Jordanian, like right. Some parties in Lebanon as well. So now, if we look at the international arena, the power, the balance of power is shifting. We notice today Russia is the one who's leading in solving the problems between South Sudan and North Sudan right now.
But Mr. Sarjas, if I could just jump in here, if I may, you say that looking at the situation in Syria, you say that it's not a good idea for President Assad to step down now, that it's not a good idea to have a transitional government because Syria needs to defend itself at this point. Mr. Chandon, what's your view on this? Because if the Syrian President Assad, opponents would say, could have solved this, why hasn't he been able to do that? He's announced a new constitution, he's announced presidential election, but still he's not been able to calm the situation. What is preventing President Assad from doing that? Do you agree with these opponents who say it's Assad himself who's the problem?
You know, what I'm not saying is there isn't internal contradiction in Syria that needs to be resolved, and there needs to be a healthy opposition, a democratic opposition that engages with the regime. That's all there, but this has turned into something totally different. This has turned into a project of regime change, as Brother Saeb is saying in Belfast, as a rolling war machine that's going to visit Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Palestinian resistance, Iran, and beyond that, Russia and China. So this is not a question of whether Assad steps down or not. This is a question whether the West can smash Syria as the last resistant Arab state to Zionism imperialism in the region. I mean, look at Libya. What has Libya turned into? And what was Libya all about, I would argue, from the first weeks of the pro-NATO rebellion? It's turned into a launch pad for further regime change from imperialism. You have the audaciousness of imperialism and the allies in Syria organizing 150 ton load of weapons off a boat that was loaded in Benghazi in Libya, then went to Tripoli in Lebanon. And luckily and thankfully, the Lebanese army foiled that attempt in arming the opposition. So this is what we're faced with. And Gaddafi said himself in last summer is that the resistance in Libya against NATO is defending Syria and Iran as well. So really, the whole third world, the whole global south, has to stop this war machine in Syria. But the point of what imperialism is trying to do in Syria is obviously their ideal situation is regime change in Syria. But in sight of an attack on Iran, destabilizing Syria, softening it up, is enough for them for their war preparations against Iran. So this is the great danger. So whereas some people are perhaps thinking, well, now Russia and China are supporting Syrian independence, we have some breathing space. This breathing space really has to be a moment where we up our vigilance, up our militancy and preparedness against the plans of empire in the region.
Mr. Sahib Shas, that brings me to the next question, and that's the news that we had about Turkey, Turkish weapons, Turkish speedboats getting involved in a conflict in the Syrian border. Even we're hearing people injured there. Do you think that effectively this shows that Turkey has actually entered a state of war with Syria and there is an intention to start a foreign military intervention? Mr. Sahib Shas. All right, it looks like we lost our connection there with Mr. Shas, but we'll try to bring him back just as soon as we can. So let's put this question to Mr. Chandon. Mr. Chandon, when you say that there's at the same time that there may be plans for a foreign military intervention in Syria, for instance, we're hearing some officials in the United States saying that we can't go into another war. This is going to be another military adventure that's too costly for America. Will America get itself involved in a Libya-style solution in Syria, do you think?
I think the key is when you said a Libya-style solution, because the Western white power structure, what it always prefers is that its regime change is done by collaborators amongst the natives themselves. And that's exactly what happened in Libya. That's what they're trying to do in Syria. And that's what they've tried to do before in using the Green Movement in Iran to effect some kind of regime change, or at least some kind of fundamental political change in Iran that's to their benefits. And I mean, Turkey has, I mean, the machinations of Turkey in providing safe bases along the border region with Syria for the armed opposition to prepare itself and go back into Syria to train Syrian rebels on Turkish soil, it's all there. But forget Turkey and Saudi Arabia and Qatar, for example. I mean, Qatar are now infamous for being a tiny little island created by the British that's doing the bidding of Zionism imperialism throughout the region. But, you know, the French foreign minister has said that military intervention is still on the cards. And whereas we have some semblance of a breathing space right now, because Russia and China said no, put their veto at the Security Council in relation to Syria, what we still find is that even President Obama is saying, in terms of the negotiations with the Iranian government, he's saying this is the last chance for any type of peaceful settlement with the Iranians. So right. The rhetoric is still very, very, very aggressive and very much warlike.
So would you say then, Mr. Chandon, that right now Kofi Annan's peace initiative in Syria has failed? Would you use that term? And if so, where does this leave the Syrian situation?
I wouldn't quite say that Kofi Annan's peace initiative has failed, because of the geopolitical situation. I think the peace plan was a de facto admission by the West that they could not conduct the type of regime change they wanted in the time frame that they wanted. So I think, I mean, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because in terms of UN observers, I'm always haunted by the infamous UN observers in Iraq, and we know where that led to, that absolutely devastating war against the Iraqi nation. I don't think it's failed just as yet, but obviously there's a big chess game going within this Kofi Annan peace plan in terms of how the Syrian opposition can use it now. And whose interest is it to let off these bombs, in these terrorist bombs in Syria? It's obviously not the Syrian government, because they have a vested interest in actually a peaceful solution ASAP to the conflict. the interests are in imperialism and its regional allies. Al-Qaeda itself, as you quoted journalist Lizzie Phelan said in the introduction, Al-Qaeda itself had admitted to these attacks. But really, we have to think, we have to question whose role is Al-Qaeda playing? It's playing a destabilizing role in whose interest? In Zionism imperialism. Al-Qaeda was formed in 1996. It was supposed to be the Islamic International Front against the quote-unquote crusaders and Jews, i.e. Zionism imperialism. But today, since Libya, clearly, we're finding that Al-Qaeda and those supporting Al-Qaeda are completely in line and facilitating and helping, as in the case of Tripoli military commander for NATO, Mr. Belhaj, who is actually the ground troops for NATO against our countries.
And another question that is frequently asked about the situation in Syria is the opposition in Syria, who they are, how split or divided they are, and which groups are being backed by the West and which groups are not. For instance, we have the SNC, the Syrian National Council. It's becoming a bit notorious over allegations that it's following the lead of the United States, the West and some regional countries like Saudi Arabia and Qatar. And there is one part of the opposition that is totally against foreign intervention, whereas the SNC is not against that, actually calling for intervention. How is this split, do you think, in the opposition going to affect the future of the Syrian crisis?
I think that you're right in as much as the opposition is split. There's sections of the opposition that are not into, armed opposition to the Syrian regime. But nevertheless, there are legitimate grievances of the Syrian people, like there's legitimate grievances of people in every country in the world. It could be your favorite country, but there's still legitimate grievances of people there. But in a situation where you have the greater power in the opposition is allied to the interests of Zionism, imperialism, and reactionary Arab states, even those sections of the opposition that I may have sympathy for, I mean, the sensible and obvious rational option for them is to step away from opposing the Syrian regime, to close ranks actually with the Syrian government, however distasteful that may be to some sections of the opposition. But, you know, it's perhaps less distasteful to close ranks with the Syrian regime than it is to end up having a situation right like that perhaps in Iraq, or definitely perhaps that in Libya today.
Right. Well, I'm just hearing that Mr. Saeb Shass is back with us again on the line from Belfast. Mr. Shass, one question that I put to our guest there in London was whether he thinks that Kofi Annan's peace initiative has failed. And some others would be saying, some analysts, that this peace plan was created actually to be violated and to convince the international community that foreign intervention is necessary and should happen. What do you think about that?
This Kofi Annan plan was designed to appease China and Russia to start with, and then to start sending accusation that the Syrian government is responsible for breaking the United Nations ceasefire. And that is designed by the Western allies and their Arab puppets to provide a pretext for a military intervention in that, so they embarrass and corner the Chinese and the Russians. But this has become very clear now and understood, since even Ban Ki-moon on Friday, there was this suicide attack on the mosque in Damascus, and he's coming out and attacking Syria and accusing the government of Syria. He never even mentioned the suicide attacks in there. So we understand the head of the United Nations is waiting on that. Alain Juppé himself, he said, we cannot wait till the moment of the truth come on the 3rd of May to the United Nations and the report. So they are designing the whole right. The whole way to accuse the Syrian government of breaking the ceasefire, while we notice the attacks coming from...
Right, Mr. Shass, I'm afraid I've got to stop you there because we've run out of time. A big thank you to Mr. Saeb Shass, author and Middle East affairs expert, joining me there on the line from Belfast. And also I'd like to thank our guest in London, political analyst and filmmaker, Mr. Sukhand Chandan. Thank you very much for staying with us. From me, Homa Lezgi, and the rest of the team here in Tehran, it's goodbye.